Okay, Sunday morning, August the 25th, 2019, the Prophet's Corner Uncut. The Lord brought this up the last service. I made the statement. The Lord brought it up again. Time to let go of Hagers in your life. Hagers. Now let's listen to the voice of the Lord. As you follow me, I will require you to let go of baggage in your life. The baggage prevents progression. The baggage will have to be dealt with, or moving on will be impossible or will not be possible. Remember the children of Israel. We just read about all that. They wouldn't move on, so they just went round and round the mountain until they just ran out of time and died. Yeah. That was not my will, but my hands were tied, you see. Obedience and letting go is paramount for your journey in me and for you to accomplish the task I've laid out for you. For this reason, I said that many are called, but few are chosen. Many just quit along the way because they were not willing to let go of their baggage so that they could so that I could bless them and move them forward. So we're going to look at a few scriptures here. This, the first one's in Galatians. Did y'all get what all I said? Do I need to read that again? Okay. Galatians chapter 4. For it is written, verse 22, that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondmaid, one by the free woman. But whereas the child of the slave woman was born according to the flesh and had an ordinary birth, the son of the free woman was born in fulfillment of the promise. Now this is an allegory. These two women represent two covenants. Now we've talked about the end of the last teaching about two masters. This is all about which master you choose to serve. These two women represent two covenants. One covenant originated from Mount Sinai where the law was given, which is the flesh, and bears children destined for slavery. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia, and she corresponds to and belongs to the same category with the present Jerusalem, for she is in bondage together with her children. So flesh, bondage. But the Jerusalem above, the messianic kingdom of Christ, is free, and she is our mother. For it is written in the scripture, "Rejoice, O barren woman who did not give birth to children. Break forth into a joyful shout, you who are not feeling birth pangs, for the desolate woman has many more children than she who has a husband. But we, brethren, are children not by physical descent, as was Ishmael, but like Isaac, born by in virtue of promise. Yet just as at that time the child of ordinary birth, born according to the flesh, despised and persecuted him who was born remarkably according to the promise and the working of the Holy Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the scripture say? Cast out and send away the slave woman and her son, for never shall the son of the slave woman be heir and share the inheritance with the son of the free woman. So, brethren, we who are born again are not children of the slave woman, the natural, but of the free, the supernatural." The Lord just quickened something to me. I was looking for something, doing a search, and all these YouTube videos come up, and these are all pastors calling the prosperity preachers the preachers of the devil. And they're preaching in their pulpits and calling them by name. And I'm just going, Lord, how in the world? I just thought, they're demonizing the people that are truly walking out the gospel and have the true principles about the gospel. Even the church is getting in their pulpits and saying they're of the devil. Well, didn't that happen in Jesus' day with the religious leaders? Jesus came bringing the message of the kingdom, and the religious leaders were the ones that raised up. They were initially the ones that twist and turn things around to get him crucified. But as I was reading that, the Lord brought that up to me. It hurt my heart. I said, Lord, how can these people do this? How can they call names? How can they say what they're saying? They can't know the full truth. They're just basing it on they don't understand, so they're going to condemn to hell anything that doesn't line up with their doctrine and their law and their set ways. I mean, it crushed me. I thought, really? Now, these aren't people that you know that are doing it. I don't know of any prominent leaders that are getting in pulpits and bashing fellow ministers. And I'm thinking, even if it were true, what gives them the right to get up there and to say that? There's a proper way to take care of leaders and to be handled in the body of Christ, and it's not that way. I mean, me, when the Lord shows me something, I just can't even say the name. I just would not say the name. I listened to one thing one day, and Mark Taylor was on with a young man, and he's calling out some of the big Word of Faith people, calling them pedophiles and satanic pedophiles and all this. And Mark Taylor said, brother, don't call names. I'm going, it was just nearly unbelievable. Now this guy, he's probably full of zeal with no knowledge, most definitely so. But even if it's true, which I doubt, but even if it's true, how can you do that? How can you do that? Anyway, back to what I was saying. As long as Abraham was holding on to Hagar, his plan, his desire, because of his son Ishmael, God could not advance his plan. All right, now with that, let's turn to Genesis 17. There's no way with Christians doing this to Christian leaders, a house divided against itself can't stand. I hope people have enough sense to realize, don't listen to that. Don't listen to those people. And I didn't listen to what they had to say. I just saw the titles. They're even putting it in their titles. They're convinced that, I guess, people that are Christians are supposed to be broke. With nothing, be just ragamuffins is the only way they can be holy, I guess. Like Danny's grandpa used to say, long dresses and long hair and long tongues. All right, Genesis 17. I know there was a purpose in me sharing that with y'all. Anyway. Verse 15, and God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. Princess her name shall be, and I will bless her and give you a son also by her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a son? Sounds like Zechariah, doesn't it? The Lord talked to us about Zechariah a few weeks ago. And he said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. My plan. I know about my plan because I've had my plan. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me to embrace your plan, not my plan. Oh, help us today, Lord. Okay. He said, but God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac, laughter, and I will establish my covenant or solemn pledge with him for an everlasting covenant with his posterity after him. So God's saying, I'm not going to bless your plan. If you're going to move forward with me, you're going to have to adopt my plan, do my plan. I'm not going to bless your plan. Finally, Sarah got it and said, enough is enough. Abraham was soul tied to Hagar and Ishmael. Okay, Genesis 21. I went to find my book yesterday on Gary Greenwald on Seductions Exposed. It's all about soul ties, and I couldn't find it, so I've ordered another one. So anyway, Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah, as it said, and the Lord did for her as he had promised. For Sarah became pregnant and bore Abraham a son in his old age. At the set time God had told him, Abraham named his son, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac, laughter. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born, and Sarah said, God has made me to laugh. All who hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children at the breast? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Only the kingdom of God could something like this happen. God's way. She couldn't have had a baby the other way. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast that same day that Isaac was weaned. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking Isaac. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman should not be an heir with my son Isaac. The thing was very grievous, serious evil in Abraham's sight, and on account of his son Ishmael. God said to Abraham, do not let it seem grievous and evil to you because of the youth and your bondwoman. And all that Sarah has said to you, do what she asks. For in Isaac shall your posterity be called. So he required Abraham to lay down his flesh plan to go walk in the promise, the Spirit. God requires that of all of us. We all have areas in our life that we have to say, okay, we got to let them go. I have a plan. I have a way. But I will not go your way or do your plan. It's my way or no way. Hear me today. I always provide grace to let you go, let go of your plan and to fulfill mine. This is the Bible way. Here are a couple of examples. Okay, Judges, the first one. In other words, the Lord's saying, I don't ask you to do something that I don't grace you to do it, and I believe that he rewards us because we do it. Judges. Let me find Judges. It's way back up here. Judges 16. And the Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, you are barren and have no children, but you shall become pregnant and bear a son. Therefore beware, and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall become pregnant and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from birth, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Then the woman went and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his face was like the face of the angel of God, to be greatly and reverently feared. I did not ask him from where he came, and he did not tell me his name, but he said to me, behold, you shall become pregnant, bear a son, and now drink no wine or strong drink, eat nothing unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from birth to the day of his death. So Samson was called to deliver the children of Israel who had been in bondage for 40 years. And so God laid down specific guidelines. He was to be a Nazarite. He couldn't drink wine, couldn't eat grapes, couldn't eat raisins, couldn't cut his hair. Okay, now Judges 16. In Samson's journey, as he gets older, he picks up a Hagar along the way that causes him to reveal God's secrets, and he loses his life over it. Judges 16. You know, we may think the things that God requires us to do, whether they be simple or whether they be hard, we may think that they're silly and they don't matter, but they do. It could be the difference between you moving on with God and doing what he's called you to do and fulfilling it or not. Judges 16. Then Samson went to Gaza and saw the harlot there and went into her. He had a problem. As you read this, the Gazites were told, Samson has come here, so they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning when it is light, we will kill him. Everywhere he went, they were trying to sabotage him and find out the reason for his strength. But Samson lay until midnight, and then he arose and took hold of the doors of the city's gates and two posts, and pulling them up, bar and all, he put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came to her and said to her, "Entice him and see in what his great strength lies, and by what means we may empower him, that we may bind him to subdue him, and we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." And Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray you, wherein your great strength lies, with that you might be bound to subdue you." And Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh strong gut strings, still moist, then shall I be weak and be like any other man." Then the Philistine lords brought to her 7 fresh strong bowstrings, still moist, and she bound him with them. Now she had men lying in wait in her inner room, and she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he broke the bowstrings as a string of tow breaks when it touches the fire, so the secret of his strength was not known. And Delilah said to Samson, "Behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray you, how you might be bound." He said to her, "If they bind me fast with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson, and the men lying in wait were in the inner room." But he snapped the ropes off his arms like sewing thread. And Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me with what you may be bound." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 braids of the hair of my head with the web." And she did so and fastened it with the pin and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the weaver's beam and with the web. And she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You've mocked me these 3 times and have not told me in what your great strength lies." When she pressed him day after day with her words and urged him, he was vexed to death. Then he told her all his mind and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my birth. If I am shaved, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his mind, she went and called the Philistine lord, saying, "Come up this once, for he has told me all he knows." Then the Philistine lords came up to him and brought the money in their hands. And she made Samson sleep upon her knees, and she called a man and caused him to shave off the 7 braids of his head. Then she began to torment Samson, and his strength went from him. She said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as I have time after time and shake myself free." For Samson did not know that the Lord had departed from him. So we see in the life of Samson, it ended up costing him his life. And when his hair began to grow back in, he did kill 1,000 Philistines. But I think it's one of the saddest stories in the Bible. Moses, one of the greatest leaders of God's plan recorded in the Bible, had to get rid of his Hagar, Zipporah, to move forward and deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. His disobedience is an Aryan that nearly got him killed. This is Exodus chapter 3. God has already revealed to Moses his plan. And from what I can understand here, he's on his way to fulfill that plan when something happens. Let's see if I can find it.
Chapter 4:24.
Along the way, at a resting place, the Lord met Moses and sought to kill him, made him acutely and almost fatally ill. Now, apparently, he had failed to circumcise one of his sons, his wife being opposed to it. But seeing his life in much danger, Zipporah took a flint knife and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it to the ground at Moses' feet and said, "Surely a husband of blood you are to me." When he let Moses alone to recover, Zipporah said, "A husband of blood are you because of the circumcision?" So eventually, it doesn't really go into detail. It does show a time that she comes with her father, and it appears that they divorce, and later on, Moses has a new wife, an Ethiopian woman. So soul ties can be to a person, a place, or a thing. And so I want us to read a little prayer here. I was hoping to have Gary Greenwald's prayer, but this is just a little short prayer that I'd have you repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you today. I renounce any soul ties I may have to any person, place, or thing that is preventing me from moving forward in your plan in my life. I humble myself before you. I accept your plan and your plan only. And thank you for your grace to make these adjustments. All right.